Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milt, and I'm really, really glad that you're here today as we dive into chapter 3 of the book of James. But before we get started, I'm going to ask you to help me recite our family declaration, and then we will dive right in. Okay, words are on the screen. Everybody ready? Here we go. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, if you have a Bible, I would ask that you bring it every week. And I'd love to hear this noise of the pages, right? And I know you got electric Bibles on your phone and stuff like that, and that's cool too. But if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to bring it. If you don't have a Bible, the church would love to give you a Bible. At first service, I said a good Bible, and someone come up and goes, "What's the difference between a good Bible and a bad Bible?" And I was like, "Okay, well, I would like to see that you have a study Bible that will give you uninspired, now not inspired by God, but some helps." So, if you don't have a Bible, please see me after the service, and we'll make sure that you get one. Okay, because we really believe that this is our authority in everything we do. Now. Today we're going to talk about something really, really small and something really, really powerful. It's this thing inside your mouth called the tongue. Everybody ready? All right. See, our ability to communicate with the use of our tongue is this rare thing that makes us a human, right? This ability to communicate, that's what kind of makes us feel human. The ability to communicate with our tongue is an incredible gift that God has given us, but it is a two-edged gift because the ability to communicate with our tongue can do lots and lots of wonderful things, and the ability to communicate with our tongue can do lots and lots of harm as well. And if I were to stop and think about all of the trouble that I have gotten myself into in my years of life, and they are many, both trouble and years, the vast majority of them comes down to my tongue. What I say, how I said it, and maybe even when I said it. Now, most of the pain we feel or cause is a direct result of this flapping tongue in our mouths. And I want you to know something. Being a Christian doesn't exempt you from this stuff, right? You know, like become a Christian, like you never have to worry about what you say anymore. Oh, yes, we do, right? In fact, I would go as far as to say this. I think the tongue is probably one of the last pieces of the human anatomy to fall in line and come into obedience to the Holy Spirit, okay? I contend that this must have been a really big deal for James. You know why I would conclude that? Because James has something to say about the words we speak and the tongue that's inside of our mouth in every one of the chapters in his book. Now, before we jump into our text in James chapter 3, I'd like us to look at a few verses from Matthew chapter 15. And so if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open to Matthew chapter 15. And as we find our place there, I want to just give you the little context of the scripture, okay? The Pharisees are coming after Jesus because he's letting his disciples chow down without washing their hands. That's what it came down to. The Pharisees were like, oh, how could you? You're their rabbi, you're their teacher, and you're letting them eat with unceremonially clean hands. What is wrong with you, right? Now they are defiled because they're eating food with unclean hands, right? Everybody following me? And so Jesus replies in verse number 10, in chapter 15 in verse 10, then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And if we were to look down to verse 17 and 18, he says, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. Isn't Jesus poetic? Like, how he can say that so clean, right? Anyway, I digress. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. He said, that's what defiles you. I want us to understand something. The tongue is neutral. We do understand that, right? The tongue doesn't come up with an idea to say something nice, right? The tongue doesn't come up with an idea to tear someone to shreds. The tongue is neutral. In fact, write this down. If you're taking notes, this is our first thought. The real culprit in communication is the heart. The real culprit in communication is the heart. See, the tongue is just a communicator for what's in the heart. It's like a thermometer checking the spiritual temperature and condition of the heart. Remember that as we go. The tongue isn't good. It isn't evil. It's neutral. It's just a communicator for what's in our hearts. Now that we've got that behind us, let's jump into James chapter 3. James chapter 3 in verse 1 and 2. My friends, we should not all try to become teachers. In fact, teachers will be judged more strictly than others. All of us do many wrong things. But if you can control your tongue, you are mature and able to control your whole body. I think the message James is getting to here isn't trying to talk people out of being teachers and leaders as much as it is a solemn warning. Like, I'm not saying don't be a teacher, but I just want you to be warned, right? Be aware that being a teacher, you're accountable. Like, you're responsible not only for what you teach, but how well you teach. Okay? Here's the next thought to write down. We're accountable for teaching truth, not opinions. We're accountable for preaching and teaching truth, not opinions. That's why I can't. Listen, sometimes people are like, why can't you just give us some love, preacher? Why can't you just give us the good stuff? And this is why I can't. I can't just give you the good stuff. I can't just tell you the things that make you feel good about you. I can't just preach a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. I didn't come to be a preacher that just tells you what your ears want to hear that will make you feel good. Because if I did that, first of all, I would do you a huge disservice. And secondly, I'm going to answer to God for what I teach and preach. I can't just give you the goods because I have been charged to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. The good, the not so fun to hear, right? All of it. Does that make sense? Another reason I believe Scripture says that we shouldn't rush out to be a teacher is because we're expected to live the truth we teach. We're expected to live the truth we teach. In other words, we're expected to walk our talk. If you say something, well, you got to live it out. Because if I don't, I'm nothing but a hypocrite, and very soon you just stop following. You'd be like, well, that guy just says this. And, you know, like in the days, and remember, I don't know if anybody had parents that had that famous phrase, do as I say, not as I do, mister. Not like I've heard that, right? No, your walk has to match your talk. If you say this, it has to be lived out. Otherwise, you lose credibility. You're a hypocrite. It's kind of like the preacher who gets into his car after a Sunday service, and the wife's already in the car, and before he starts it up, he looks over at her and he says, dear, Has it ever occurred to you that my sermons would probably be much more effective if you didn't go, ha, after each of my points? Right? I mean, seriously, our walk has to match our, regardless of where we're at. I gotta be true to what I teach and preach, not only here, but at home, and at the grocery store, and at the gas station, and wherever I might be, our walk has to match our talk. It's so important. And let me say this very clearly. James isn't preaching or teaching silence. He's not pushing, just don't, it's not worth your, you know, it's not worth the risk, just don't teach. He's not doing that. He's not telling you to avoid being a teacher or preacher. He's saying, just be advised, beware, use caution. Because you're accountable for what you teach and how well you teach, and you're expected to live what you teach. See, none of us are perfect, right? We already read that in Scripture, right? We all make many mistakes. God isn't interested in perfection in our performance as much as he is purity in our hearts. Anybody see that? We can't live perfection. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all blow it. God isn't interested in seeing us perform perfectly. What he wants to see is purity in our hearts. Verse 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. These are two very powerful word pictures that James uses to help us understand the power of the tongue. Like, how many of you ever ridden a horse or sat on a horse? Right? There's some massive piles of muscle, right? There's some strong animals, sometimes weighing upwards of 1,000 pounds. And yet, for the most part, you can control a horse with a small piece of metal, sometimes weighing as little as 0.5 pound, called a bit that you put in the horse's mouth. That is pretty amazing, to think that this little piece of metal of 0.5 pound can control and turn and stop a 1,000-pound locomotive. Or a ship. The ginormous ships we see with all the upper deck, lower deck, and life rafts, and hundreds of suites, and all the food and kitchens, and all this stuff out on the vast, immense, ginormous ocean with winds that can sometimes be wickedly strong, and yet with a relatively small piece of metal mounted to the bottom of the ship, we can make it, called a rudder, we can make it turn in any direction we want. It's pretty amazing. And here's what we need to understand. Like a bit or rudder, the tongue is small but powerful. Like a bit or rudder, the tongue is small but powerful. Verse 5. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Check this out. In 2022, 3.3 million acres of American land was destroyed by fire caused by matches or cigarettes. Like, that's the size of Connecticut, right? That's a lot of damage caused by something so small as a match or a cigarette. But that's the way it is with our tongues as well. Our tongues have the capacity to speak life, and our tongues have the capacity to speak death. Our tongues have the capacity to speak hope and encouragement into someone to take a risk and do something great for the world that they may have never taken that risk. They may have never thought about actually doing it until they received the encouraging word from you. How do you see that? Our tongues have the capacity to rip someone to shreds and leave them feeling alone and empty, hopeless, maybe even suicidal. Do you see the power? Do you see the importance of the use of our tongue? It's so important. It's huge. It's a big, big deal. Verse 7. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Isn't that interesting? People have and can tame every kind of wild beast and animal, but no one can tame the tongue. You probably know the feeling, don't you? When you're like, there's something you want to say. Right? Maybe it's a little jab. Maybe it's some kind of passive-aggressive statement. Maybe it's some kind of sarcasm. Maybe it's just a cheap shot. And you want to take it. You want to take it. They deserve it. Inside, as you're a follower of Jesus, you know you shouldn't. The Holy Spirit's even going, don't do it. It's going to leave a mark. Don't do it. But you do it anyway. And as soon as you do, it's out there. And you're left feeling kind of embarrassed, maybe ashamed, got some regret. Anybody make comments like that? You know you shouldn't, but you just do it anyway and then live to regret it. I did. I have. Here's the reality. We can't control our tongues, but God can. We can't, but God can. And here's the recipe, very simple. Take a healthy portion of scripture reading every single day. Mix it together with a spackling of prayer all throughout the day. Some time set aside to just listen and marinate as the Spirit of God speaks to us. And then waking up every morning, coming under the authority of the Holy Spirit, may my whole spirit, soul, and body be controlled by you, Holy Spirit. You do that. You follow that recipe. And God can and will help put a guard on your mouth. Verse 9. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. James, again, uses these powerful word pictures to help us. Our tongues are amazing. If you stop and think about it, they're absolutely amazing. They can praise God with one breath and then rip someone to shreds with the very next breath. And James is like, what? No. This is so not right. I mean, do we see this exemplified in any other areas of our life? Right? I mean, does this happen? Can you go to a spring and get both fresh and murky water at the same time? No. Can you get an apple from an orange tree? No. And you can't get figs from an olive tree, and you can't get fresh water from a salty spring. And out of the same mouth should not proceed blessings and cursing. Warren Wiersbe tells a story. One afternoon, he's hanging out with another Christian. And during the course of the afternoon, the young man had something that happened, and it really frustrated, made him upset, and he was mad, and he lost his temper, he lost his mind, and he rattled off a whole string of profanities. And then he realized who he was with. And he turned to Warren Wiersbe. He goes, I am so sorry. Like, I don't even know where that come from. That is, like, so not me. And Warren Wiersbe turned to him and said, it came out of you, so it must have been in you. Ouch. We need to remember the tongue is simply a communicator for what's in our heart. For out of the mouth proceeds what's really in our hearts. Now, I want you to be painfully honest with yourselves and before God this morning. What areas of your life need some help concerning your tongue? Like, do you relish in juicy gossip? You can't wait to open up your smartphone and go to all those social media things to see who's doing what and who's not and who's with who and who's not and all these things. So you can share it too and talk about other people. Do you find yourself being kind of verbally abusive, just kind of obnoxious, kind of mean-spirited? Is your tongue careless about what you say and how you say it? Does the overflow of your heart carry words of slander, and bitterness, and profanity? Remember, we can't tame the tongue, but God can. And what's required is for us just to admit it and call out to God and say, Holy Spirit, please help me. I am incapable of controlling this tongue, but I know you can. And see, that's what I just love about God, is because when it comes to matters of the heart, He loves to help. Because it's not the mouth, the tongue. It's not about the tongue. It's about the heart. Now, I'm putting myself out here. And my wife's sitting there. I'm going to do a tally. I'm going to keep a tally, a running tally this week. And if you see me or hear me saying something that isn't edifying, that isn't godly, that isn't right, you just call me out. You probably won't know the number. She probably will. But you can just go, there's one. Or add that to your list, preacher. And I'll try to report back to you next week. Because I think I probably, I know I can say things just, even kind of just being the jokester that I am, can sometimes be hurtful. And so I'm going to be trying to extra careful this weekend, and I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to guard my tongue. I can't control my tongue, God, but you can. And I'm going to invite you to do the same thing. I'm not saying we walk around and go, I'm just not going to talk for a week. It's the only way I'm going to win this one. Right? No, but maybe pause. And before you go, wham, and you just come back with that snarky, grumpy, angry comment, pause. I don't know what that looks like, but I just love that our Father cares so much about matters of our heart. This is not about the tongue, it's about the heart. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. But here's the deal. God is a gentleman. And He's not going to force His way on you. He gives us the choice to follow Him or not. We've been talking about the use of the tongue. And listen to how James is talking about the use of the tongue. But really, it's much deeper. It's a matter of the heart. And so my question, instead of asking you about your tongue, I'd like to ask you, how's your heart? Because out of the heart, out of the mouth proceeds what's in your heart. How's your heart today? Now, I could come out with about 150,000 scenarios of different things than that, but the beautiful thing about God is He doesn't need me to bring things to His attention as per possibilities. He already knows what's inside your heart and your heart and your heart and yours 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 and mine. Right? He knows what's in our hearts. And I guess I'm asking us to be honest and raw before Him and invite Him. Lord, look past the exterior. Look past what other people see. Look past what I'm like in public. Look past all of that and look into my heart. And help me. In that area where I am weak, in that area where I fail, in that area where I am susceptible, would you be more than enough to gap that chasm? See, this is a good morning. Because y'all are still sucking air. Right? We've got breath in our lungs. Yesterday's gone. We've got today, and we've got this week, we hope. We don't know, but we got today, and we've got breath in our lungs right now. All we need to do is just start fresh. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on all that stuff. Now, if you need to make some things right, make them right. But don't dwell there. Focus on where you are and where God has you and what God wants to do in your heart today. Invite him to look into the deep recesses of your heart and ask him to help you become more like Jesus than when you walked in those doors this morning. We're going to spend a couple minutes just listening and talking to God, and then we're going to celebrate how awesome he is.